Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, it's Sunday, August 29th, Williams and Bloom podcast here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. Of course, we are presented by our friends at MechDyne and the MechDyne Corporation. Big Iowa State guys up there at MechDyne in Marshalltown, and I'm sure they are fired up for game week, as are we. We're going to get into that, but I want to encourage you to check out MechDyne.com and go to their careers page. Chris Clover, the CEO there, told me about a marketing position that was open. Go and check that out. You don't have to be a smart engineer. You could be a dumb marketing person like us. Kidding. Don't take offense to that, anybody. I'm just messing around. Check them out, our presenting sponsor and proud partner here at CycloneFanatic.com. MechDyne and the MechDyne Corporation. With that, it is week one. Brent Bloom is here. Dare we indulge in some Gary Patterson game on and ode to Big 12 football leading into today's podcast? Game on. Game on. Game on.
Hey, are you ready for some crazy rock steady? It's on.
Game on.
Going straight up, take it to the break of dawn. Game on.
Yeah, hit it, Gary.
Said hey, going all the way. Said hey, I was born to play. Said hey, game on all night long. Said hey, like fire and smoke. Said hey, I'm ready to go. Said,
man, if you're not ready to go after that, you don't have a pulse.
Does Gary have to recut the song and video after the conference blows up? Like, do we have to include BYU?
I don't think the lyrics change because it's really like four words that he says, but the video would have to be recut, yes.
I mean, we're going to have to get some footage from Central Florida.
Yeah, perhaps.
Hey, guys.
Perhaps commission somebody in Cincinnati.
Before you are officially in the league, we need you to submit
some B-roll.
For Patterson's new, this is a big deal to us here at the Big 12.
What? Who do we have to talk to up in Ames to get this song to be the first one played at Jack Trice Stadium on Saturday?
I don't know, but it's a cool song.
It's not a bad song.
The other one's really dorky. This one is cool.
I think it'd be Nathan Terry. Nathan, if you're listening,
yeah.
If we could get Game On by Patterson.
I know somebody in the Jacobson Building's listening
pass
to this.
It along.
Get this over to Terry. Because this is an integral piece of game day.
There's the several thousand listeners to this podcast.
Other conference has like a fire up song.
Right, but they would appreciate it. And they'd have a good chuckle.
That was, I always thought that when, who was that like rapper that Jake McDonough worked with?
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, they did that Cyclone song. I'm like, why don't we play that more? Like, that's a good song. Like, and it's actually about Iowa
Wasn't
State.
Wasn't it Tech N9ne?
Yeah. Yeah, that's who it
they're
was.
Like not they're like not a small deal.
They're like a real rap group.
Yeah. Well, there's still time. At least we've gone beyond what the opening song will be. Like, that hasn't been brought up at all.
No, because they picked a good one and they stuck
good,
with it.
They're good now.
It's not that garbage stuff in the 70s. We just moved to the 90s with Stone Cold Steve Austin. As long as it fits my narrative and my time frame, then it's
good
fine
for you.
All right. All right. We're recording this on Sunday afternoon. We're usually really late night on a Sunday. Shout out to my in-laws for taking the 2-year-old off of my hands today. And my wife is working and Bloom's kids are napping. So here we are. It's game week. I have all the betting lines for the Big 12. We're going to do a big Iowa State final look. A couple of random national things here to get to, newsy items. Response to the Stuart Mandel podcast has been mixed, as I thought it would be. All I will say is this. We're not going to invite the guy on here and, like, cuss at him. Like, that was never our... And if that's how you want to get, like, your point across in life, about anything, when you disagree with somebody, you're probably not going to get very far. So I don't really have any regrets as to how we did it. I thought it at the very least, looking at that man in the eye.
And we were looking at him.
Yes,
it was on Zoom, which does change the dynamic a little bit.
At the very least, that man, when he writes about Iowa State or quote retweets one of you guys or something, it's going to go through his mind, this filter of the conversation that he had with us. And that was really the only goal that we had.
Yeah, we hope so, at least.
Yeah, I do think it will. Like, I mean, it may not change his opinion, but I do think, like, especially you brought some facts to the table that, like, I think that he's not an irrational human. He's just kind of out of touch with Iowa State. And he lives in Silicon Valley. How could we expect any different?
Right. I mean, just because you're a national writer doesn't mean you're a national expert.
And correct.
The people locally know way more about Iowa State situation than he does. And so hopefully sharing with him our thoughts of how this whole thing is not going to be, you know, it's not going down the right direction for not only Iowa State, but also college football in general. Perhaps that will change some of the tone. Maybe it won't. But I enjoyed the conversation. I thought that's what it should be about, good discourse back and forth. I think we should have more of that in general and not just yelling at somebody because the perceived negatives.
And if you, like, put this in, like, the real world, like, if you want something from your boss, if you go in and cuss at them, you're probably not going to get what you want. Like, just a normal human being type of conversation, in my opinion, is always better.
And you did invite him to your basement, and that offer still stands.
Yeah, he did. We have texted since. And if he comes to Ames, he's going to come a night early, and we are going to do a Des Moines Brewery tour.
There you go.
But he did say that he wanted to stay at the Marriott for the points.
I get it. As a Marriott point guy myself, like, I...
and real quick, so I wanted to say this, too. So I put out a tweet on Saturday, and I guess I would hope... Now, I'm not perfect, but I would hope most people listening know that I don't just, like, throw shit at the wall. That's not my shtick. It was about the College game day thing, and it was a very, for some reason, a polarizing tweet. I said, from my information, and I have very good information, Brent, and I know you do too, I said, if from what I'm hearing right now, if Iowa and Iowa State both look good in week one, there's a good chance game day is going to be in Ames on September 11th. And so I was like, I'm reading all the replies, and I mean, people I don't know, some I do, basically calling me an idiot and an effing moron. Oh, it's going to be at Air Force or like, and like, we had just had this conversation with Mandel, and I was just last week, I was like, why do these guys have to be so smug? Why do they have to be jerks? And I was thinking to myself, like, you know what? Like, F these people. Like, they just come on here and they're just jerks. And like, if you would imagine, like, I have 26,000 Twitter followers. Mandela is like 140,000.
Yep.
It will wear on a guy.
Sure.
You know, because it did me yesterday. I was like, screw you, people. I've never lied to you about this stuff before. I'm not telling you it's going to happen, but I have really good information. You don't know where I'm getting it, and I'm not going to tell you, but it's rock solid. I'm not making this up just because you don't want it there, or maybe, like, I'm not lying to you, right?
Yeah,
and, like, I can totally see how we get is media personalities very callous over the years, because I had that happen to me yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, and it's frustrating because I was reading those replies too, and people would say, no, you're wrong, no. It's like, wait, no, I know exactly what Chris information he has, and it's not wrong, and so just to be told, no, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
It's like, well, then, who are you to tell me that when I'm the one with the information?
I'm not perfect. I have bad opinions. This wasn't an opinion. Like, I'm telling you, like, fine, I'll just keep the information to myself next time, and then you're going to say I'm a shitty journalist because I don't have the sources. Like,
I can see
how these guys, my point is, I'm just drawing it to the Mandel thing. I'm not comparing myself to him. He's a much bigger deal than me.
I see your point.
I get how you get callous over this stuff over the years.
And majority of people are friendly about it, but there are a few that are like, come on.
Not online.
Yeah, online,
honestly,
though,
you like,
can be anonymous. And
in real life, face-to-face, the overwhelming majority of people are very cordial and kind. Online, it's 50-50. I put that over the years.
I think that's probably a fair assessment. So, I mean, at the end of the day, just kind of keep do what you do and just, you know, And getting the feedback can be difficult.
My point is, you can't read it all.
Yeah,
my point is, when you're dealing with these guys, it comes back to that. If you're trying to change mind or have telling them to F off isn't always the best. It's not always the best way to go about
it. That's something we both agree on.
You want to start with Nebraska or UCLA's crowd?
Oh, man.
Let's start with UCLA's crowd just because it's attached to this Mandel conversation. And then I did find the...
And he was defending the crowd.
Yeah, because of COVID and because of... There's so much to do in LA. There's beaches.
And there's always going to be beaches. Like, nothing,
there have
nothing
always been beaches.
There have been beaches in Los Angeles since the beginning.
And our guy, Stu, friend of the program now, he was... Somebody said something like, it was about Nebraska. Oh, it was Colin Cowherd tweeted, hey, maybe, you know, a lot of things changed. Maybe it's not possible to win in Nebraska like they used to. It's not 1995 anymore. And Mandel was like, well, now do Wisconsin. Well, it's like kind of the same thing with the crowd. I mean, UCLA had like the worst attendance in there since 1982.
What was the actual listed attendance?
I don't know, but it was awful.
It looked about 10,000 people.
But my point is, like, well, the beaches have always been there. The Lakers have always been there. They've always, you know, not until recently, but back in the day, they had NFL teams. Like, this is not, like, it's not like Southern California just became a draw.
And you've been out there. College sports just aren't a big deal out there.
No.
They're not.
It's not even on the radar.
And so... When you look at why has the Pac-12 struggled, and you can go to a couple of things like, oh, well, our network's not very good, and you know, our recruiting, well, some of our recruits are now moving east, so they're going to the Alabamas, the Clemsons of the world. But maybe at the end of the day, it's because they're just not as passionate about their schools as they are in the Midwest and the Southeast. And so when you extrapolate that to the media stuff, and the fact that the Pac-12 has now been, if you would, you know, 6 weeks ago, I would have said the Pac-12 is in way more trouble than the Big 12, just for a lot of these same reasons.
Yeah.
But because of Texas and Oklahoma, it has now shifted it. Now the Pac-12 is a part of this alliance, and they're quote unquote safe, but they're as safe as long as USC and Oregon are in that conference.
I heard a rumor over the weekend, and I don't know if it's true, but it does pass the smell test to me that USC didn't want to sign the grant of rights. They didn't want to extend the grant of rights like last year or something like that. They wanted to wait until closer to the TV contract, which is weird to me. Like, listen,
and
I'm not trying to start.
And they are the first to go.
Yes.
Because I think theirs and the Big Ten's is both up in 2024, which means they'll begin negotiating probably in the next 9 to 12 months. And that'll give us a good idea of what's ahead for the rest of everybody. If they sign a big contract, good for them.
I don't
necessarily see that happen.
One more thing, and I wrote about this on the forums.
Why does the national media defend the Pac-12 so much when it's anyway.
And the one thing I just reject that Mandel said, but I wasn't going to change his mind, right. So I didn't press him on it. Like, you guys know my opinion on this. The streaming companies are not just going to, we just want the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, I firmly reject that, and I think that is a groupthink conversation that has just been tossed around. I don't believe it. Take that for what it's worth, but there's a lot of money to be made. I just think a lot of the sports writers out there are thinking very much in terms of right now and in the past. I think that they believe streaming will become more prevalent. They're not stupid, but if Amazon, if Netflix, I don't think Netflix is going to get into live sports, but like even if they would, there's plenty of money to be made out there
Apple.
In many different ways. I mean, what if Apple says to the Pac-12, okay, we'll buy your tier two, just an example. Mm-hmm. And with that, we want to furnish, or we want every computer on campus to be an Apple.
Yeah.
Every, you know,
when you start talking about these procurements,
this is different than Disney. This is different than Fox. These are different companies. And I don't think that the national narrative has caught up to that yet.
Right. Or, you know, on the Amazon side, yes, we will sign this deal. We encourage you, your network people to use Amazon Cloud services.
Yeah.
And that you use our... Just think of
size
all that
size locker room has to be on Amazon.com.
Yeah, I mean, you can just connect the dots over and over again. So while the college sports rights may be really small time for Amazon, enough, why would they get into that when they're dealing with the NFL? It could be just one component of their bigger plan to take over as much as they can. So I don't think you can eliminate them at all. I think that's thinking like we're back in 2005 again when we're not. And these media rights are 10, 12, 15-year deals. So even if the infrastructure's not quite all the way there when they sign this thing in 2023 or whatever, think about where we're going to be in 2040, how much the world is going to be different.
Even
and
if,
this is what
even if
these
it's just
companies are
tier
thinking
three.
About.
Yeah. Like, I mean, let's say it's Amazon or Apple, and they had the tier three for the new Big 12. Well, that'd be a really good position for Iowa State because they have had a Cyclones TV. Like, they could just pick it up right now. Yeah.
I think it'll be fascinating. One thing that I'm going to keep an eye on this year and potentially remind Stuart Mandel occasionally is, what is Iowa State's TV ratings going to be? I think it'll be fascinating. The Iowa State game on September 11th is on national TV. If that gets, let's say, 3-4 million viewers, that's great for Iowa State. Like, that is big time. And that Iowa State's going to get more opportunities to be on national TV this year. And if it's becoming more of a brand like I think they are, those numbers should reflect that. And then that whole basis of Stewart's column about 18 and 19, that these other eight don't draw. Well, if Iowa State's drawing as much or more as Texas did 2 years ago, then that is a huge argument for them, for no matter if it's in this reconfigured Big 12 or potentially going somewhere else. And so this is a great year for Iowa State to be good, because I think the data from this year from TV size and ratings will be a part of a decision-making process going forward. So this is why it's important for Iowa State to win and keep winning, because not only does it help just from a football perspective, but also helps your awareness, brand awareness, which is reflected in TV ratings.
Thanks to Stuart for coming on.
Yeah, long story short, yes.
He's busy this time of year and took an hour out of his day, and we appreciate it. Nebraska gets punked by Illinois.
Oof, buddy.
Scott Frost.
Says it's a bad movie?
We were listening to Husker postgame.
As you said, iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
Got to get prepared.
Oh, pray to God I'm not in that situation next week.
Yes, please. Yeah, I'm saying yes, please. No, I don't want that situation.
Bloom and I were listening. We threw the kids in a bouncy house, and we were drinking beer and listening to Nebraska postgame on Saturday.
And as we have hosted now the postgame for 15 years or so.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we had a bingo card before the callers called in, and it was bingo within 5 minutes, man. What? Like, you knew what they were going to say.
Somebody has to take the blame.
Take the blame.
Who's to blame?
Got to ask harder questions, the Frost.
Yeah. And the players. It's the media's fault because you don't hold them accountable. Special teams is always a big one. It's free throws in basketball.
Bad culture.
Yeah, and culture is always the buzz. Everybody's talking about culture now. The coaches talk about culture. The fans talk about culture. Everybody wants to talk about culture.
And it's one of two things always. Either our we're good enough talent-wise, our coaches aren't doing the job, or we just need better players.
And the thought was...
he was awesome.
I mean, and we were getting them from every angle. We would have had a bingo really fast. Like, they think that a lot of them think that they have, like, the right players, and I don't see it.
I didn't see it.
Like, and I watch Nebraska football. Like, I care about Nebraska football. I'm not a fan, but, like, man, it was a part of my life growing up.
And that's why they're so-called blue blood still, because people still pay attention to them. Now, they're paying attention to them to kind of laugh at them at this point, which is maybe not the attention you want.
Brent, don't shoot me, but I was rooting for them. Like, I think it's more interesting when they're respectable. And that was as bad of a performance. Like, if I'm a Nebraska fan yesterday, like, I have zero hope.
They
just
got worked.
They could not look good.
They could not run the ball.
In any aspect of the game.
Yep.
And then Martinez, like, listen, I blame Frost as much as I do him. Him didn't being like, oh, he's a drop back passer. Like, he is not.
Yeah, and the fact that they've been stuck on him for four years, they can't find anybody better.
Anyways.
They're destined for 4 or 5 wins this year.
Yeah. Like, that. I don't see that. Like, I went through their schedule a couple weeks ago on the radio and was like, yeah, I think they're at 6-6. No way.
Not now.
Like, I whiffed on that.
What does Oklahoma do to them in a week?
Whatever they want.
Yeah. Correct.
I mean, really, whatever they want. Take the Sooners. Go in and get your futures bet in now.
Whatever that is.
That's all I got for you on the national side. Anything else to pick off of that bone with Mandel?
No, all good. Now we can focus on after months. It's been about 9 months to the day since the Fiesta Bowl and the top 7 ranked Iowa State football program back at it.
All right. Want to thank our friends. Hey, Farm Story Meats, farmstorymeats.com. Told you about this place. The next shipping date and home delivery is August 30th and September 1st. So get your for the big tailgate season. Yeah. I would highly encourage they've got like a tailgate pack. We put that up on our Twitter the other day. Literally, I'm not being hyperbolic here. Ray sent me a package. This is the best meat I've ever had.
I've heard that from multiple people.
Yeah, it really is. I don't do a lot of beef anymore, and it's honestly it's because of the pork tie that we have. Like I've gotten to really enjoy eating pork.
Sure,
like it's not that I don't like beef. I love beef. Ray sent me some steaks, and I think they were the best steaks that I had ever bought that weren't like a filet or right. I don't even remember what it was. I think it was a strip. They're the best steaks ever. I'm telling you guys. And I was talking with somebody, one of our listeners and one of our fans at the Whiskey River, going to be sponsoring our postgame show.
Mississippi River
Distilling Party last week. And one of our listeners said the exact same thing. Like, I've never had meat this fresh. Like, this is the best meat I've ever had. Give them a try. FarmStoryMeats.com. It's all born and raised right here in the great state of Iowa. No added hormones, humanely raised, antibiotic-free, small family farm. You're supporting a bunch of small companies if you use farmstorymeats.com.
And it'd be a story to tell at your tailgate, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't even have to do anything. You don't have to go to the store. It just shows up.
They deliver the meat.
Yeah, comes right to your door. You can get a subscription now. It's fantastic. I also want to thank our friends at Gravitate Coworking. Check them out at gravitatecoworking.com. Work better, work together. Find your productive, happy place. That is their motto. You can go to gravitatecoworking.com and look at all the membership options. Downtown, midtown, Oh, in the rural area of Jefferson. If I lived in Jefferson, I'd be at Gravitate Co-working, Cedar Falls. And this is a good spot. If you got sent home because of the pandemic, or maybe you just work from home and you need to get the hell out, check them out at Gravitate Co-working. They take COVID seriously. You'll have a safe space to get out of the house and be productive.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
College football opening weekend. As I tweeted this, week zero to me just kind of feels like you're getting the summer beer out of the fridge.
Yeah. Yeah. Right?
Like it.
There wasn't much happening.
The UCLA game was terrible. I was gravely disappointed that I couldn't watch UTEP. UTEP was like my lock of the week.
And they were on like Flow TV.
Were they?
Yeah. I don't even know.
I couldn't find it.
Flow TV is like a off-brand subscription service.
Like
that's
like
not even on
Flow Wrestling. Like that's same deal.
Same deal.
Oh, I could have watched that. I have a subscription.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if your Flow Wrestling subscription would have got you on Flow TV.
I think they all run together.
They perhaps.
Because I have Flow Racing and Flow Wrestling.
It was out there.
Yeah. So whatever. This week, full slate of games. It's actually a pretty good opening week. We will start with what you guys care about. That is the Cyclones. Before we work into the rest of the Big 12. And everything else. All right, Bloom. It's here. The time is here. I mean, I haven't made my pick yet, but I don't think that this is going to be. I mean, who knows with Northern Iowa and Iowa State? We know the history, but it feels different to me. I don't think there's a lot of kinks for Iowa State to work out here. I think that they hit the ground running.
The game 2 years ago against you and I defied logic from a result standpoint, but not an analytics standpoint. So Iowa State controlled that game, but then had that turnover that led to a touchdown. But they were able to shut you and I down on the ground, and Iowa State moved the ball okay. They averaged like 4 yards a carry. But that game should not have been that close at the end. Now credit you and I for taking advantage and kind of making it sloppy, and so they're there at the end. What I envision this time around, though, is Iowa State's good enough up front on both offense and defense. You know, you and I struggled in the spring. So if you remember, they had that spring season because the Missouri Valley schools did not play until then. They had a lot of weird stuff happen, right? So right before their first game, their offensive coordinator up and leaves to go, I think, to Green Bay to coach for the Packers. So they're left there like the day before the game with a new offensive coordinator and a short coaching staff. They end up going 3-4. But if you look at the metrics for you and I, they were awesome on defense still. Like, still outstanding. 300 yards a game, still like 3 yards of carry on the ground. Really solid. And all those guys are back. So I think their defense is going to be very good.
Mm-hmm.
And will be a formidable opponent for Iowa State right off the bat. I think that.
Yeah. Well, They always are.
Jeremiah Johnson, who is the UNI defensive coordinator,
yeah.
It really should be. I mean, if he wanted to, he could probably move up to the next level and be successful. I don't know if he's waiting for Farley retired. He's still going to be the head coach there or what's going on there. But they have him. Bryce Popp's been there forever as the defensive line coach. They've got an outstanding D tackle in Brinkman, who's really good, a good linebacker, and I think it's Cuvaliers. And the secondary is good. I think that defense will be as good as some Big 12 defenses, if not better. The problem for you and I is their offense was miserable last year. Just horrendous. And only against the Missouri Valley, they averaged 3 yards per carry.
Mm.
And it just, if Iowa State was eighth in all of college football last year against the run, allowing just 3 yards per carry. If I'm looking at that matchup, I'm struggling to see how you and I is going to be able to move the ball on the ground. And if you can't move the ball on the ground, and they have a quarterback issue, I think it'll still be McElvain, the Lincoln kid, will end up getting the nod. He's not very accurate. I think it's setting up to be a really brutal time for you and I on the offensive end. And Iowa State should be able to control them there, throwing a turnover or two. And I think this thing is close, for a quarter or two because I think the UNI defense is solid. But ultimately, I don't see UNI with the weaponry to make this competitive. And I think Iowa State just methodically, kind of like they did against K-State and then Oregon. I don't know if it's going to get out of hand like K-State did, but I see something like Oregon, you know, where it's 34-10, 37-10, something like that. And, you know, Iowa State should still be able to move the ball on the ground, and you hope Hall gets his carries. He had a couple plays over the top to loosen it up, and I don't see this being like 2 years ago. And if you look at 19, you look at 16, the years Iowa State lost to them, Cyclones really struggled to run the ball. I don't see them struggling to run the ball
that,
this time.
That's where I was going to go. Like it, I look at the running game in that game, and like first of all, the line, you're really up in the air, offensive line wise.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I mean, Newell was a freshman.
Yeah, like you just
Foster
there were a lot.
Foster was a young guy.
I mean, Purdy is coming off of that freshman year. Like you're like he was good. And
he
we
was
knew
good.
It, but he was still young.
Yep.
You didn't know running back wise,
did not
really who you were. You really didn't know what you had in Kohler yet. You know, yep. Like it just
Petway's. That was Petway's first game.
Yeah, like it. This has a different feel.
It does.
To me.
I think you and I will do very well. I think actually they're undervalued right now for their league. Looking at their roster,
they're because of last year.
Because like, of last year,
there's a lot of overreaction due to that COVID year across the country.
I see this more like what happened when Iowa played UNI in 18. It was just better. And they held them like 10 yards on the ground. They ran the ball, and they were able to just kind of exert their will. I see something like that. And I think that one ended up being 34-14, somewhere in that neighborhood. And you just hope that Iowa State plays a clean game. No special teams issues, no turnovers
no
like
injuries.
Happened against Louisiana. But I think you're the dominant football team, and show it. And I know people could get a little grumbly in the first half or so if you're not just putting up 28 points, but you and I's got a good defense, okay? That should be known. They got a couple guys that may even get in the NFL. But it's just, this will be one of those methodical games where Iowa State should be better. I don't see you and I putting up a bunch of points, and you just kind of cruise your way in the second half with a comfortable win.
The Campbell Classic Anaconda squeeze.
Yeah,
Texas Tech.
I could see them.
Oregon.
I could see them being a little. Now, I think that's to be the preferred style. I could see them putting up some style points just to feel good.
Yeah, and I think, too, I mean, you'd love to get Deckers out there.
And
you'd
that,
love
too.
To,
yep.
I mean, with what you have on the line this year, getting some of the – I mean, let's let Jirel Brock,
yes,
you know, get some move.
Yep.
See what you have. Can we get Easton Dean out there?
Let's get Easton Dean in there. Let's get Jalen Noll in there. Yep. See what you got. And Noll might play, actually, earlier than just garbage time.
Even
you know
Skates,
I mean.
Like, yep. Just these guys who are not as seasoned as you might need if you would need them down the road.
Do you know who the I got to mention this. Can you cue up Yakety Sax? Can you find Yakety Sax for me while I tell this anecdote?
I can always find Yakety Sax. You know, it's on my
it's got to be in the short.
You know it's on my
YouTube
favorites,
list.
Right? Yeah, it's just right there. It's always ready.
The Northern Iowa offensive coordinator is a man by the name of Sean Watson.
Wait a second. Sean Watson, I know that name.
You do know that name. Do you know why you know that name?
He's the old Nebraska offensive coordinator,
yeah,
right?
Do you remember what he coordinated?
The 8 turnover game?
That's right.
Yes.
Sean Watson was the guy that the famous Yakety Sax Nebraska effort.
At one point, people were thinking he was going to be like a head coach, right?
Yeah, he had an interesting career. So he was at Nebraska for a while, then got fired, went to Louisville, coached Teddy Bridgewater.
Really?
Got himself back on the map, went with Charlie Strong to Texas. That didn't go well. And now he's the offensive coordinator for UNI.
Really?
Yep.
I had no idea.
Sean Watson.
I haven't done my like deep dive on UNI yet. So
I saw that name today. Like, that's Yakety Sax Sean Watson.
Why didn't we do the Yakety Sax when we were discussing Nebraska's loss to Illinois?
I wanted to save it for Sean Watson. But no, he's a fine coach. This is not a disrespectful to Sean. He's clearly has Big 12 experience at multiple places and is.
Man.
Done a nice job. So that's, I mean, they've got, between Johnson and their D coordinator, Watson I think is capable. They've got a pretty good staff. They just,
they don't
have the depth.
There's like live performances of people covering Yakety Sax on YouTube.
I believe anything's on the internet right now.
That's incredible. I'm going to have to check that out. This version of Yakety Sax that we had up has been viewed on YouTube over almost 13 million times.
I think this podcast is at least 1,000 of those.
All right. What are we looking forward to seeing? Not necessarily like fired up about, but like what are we anxious to see with Iowa State? I think that's a good way to go right now. A couple things for me, really geeky stuff, but I think the offensive line and where everybody's located.
That was like near the top of my list, right off the top.
I mean, even like if you could read between the lines, like when these guys talk about versatility, right? Well, that tells me that there's going to be some dudes playing places we haven't seen before. So it's good. I do have some pretty decent information on that on the premium forum and the Patreon page. But I want to see the rotations on the offensive line, because I do think when you look ahead to the Iowa game, I mean, I think Iowa State outclasses them in a lot of ways, but they have in years, and it's always been up front. Like, how do you match up? And I do think that this is the year Iowa State can just go man-to-man with them up front.
This is why this game, while it's always uncomfortable to play you and I think it sets up fine this year, because your O-line, who I think has a chance to be really good for Iowa State, but you're going to get a test right away. You and I's defensive line is as good as the Techs, as the... Kansas is for sure. Mm-hmm. As some of those, you know, mid to bottom tier the defensive lines in the Big 12, you and I stacks up very favorably, if not better. And when you go to Iowa, and Iowa's going to be stronger than you and I, getting that test early rather than some slappy directional school from the MAC, you're going to get a better read of where those guys are. And that physicality, that first game is always tough. Mm-hmm. You're getting hit in the mouth finally. See how you acclimate, and I think Iowa State will do well, but I think this will benefit them ultimately for the Iowa game next week.
Similar, the secondary in general, the rotations. I got some pretty good intel backing up what you said last week about TJ Tampa.
Yes.
And his ascendance on the depth chart. I do think, though, and Campbell talked to me a little bit about this in the offseason, it's, you know, we talk a lot about like individual matchups and basketball being a matchup driven sport. Believe it or not, I do think that how they piece the secondary together is going to be, okay, we're playing Kansas State, this guy's in.
Sure.
We're playing Oklahoma,
yeah,
this guy's in. I do think that we're going to see more of that secondary-wise this year with Iowa State.
Yeah, because if you look at the two starters from last year, Datron Young and Tavon Kyle, I would say Young's the faster guy. I mean, his nickname's Speedy, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
The foot speed, you know, for those quicker guys. Where Tavon Kyle was a lot more physical, but maybe didn't have the foot speed. Tampa's both, but he's young. And so I think, you know, he's got the opportunity to be, like, locked down good.
I think they got four guys they're comfortable with.
Yeah, and then Anthony's...
Johnson's at elite.
He's elite on the other side. And I don't know if they're going to be tested a whole lot against Northern Iowa. They do have two receivers that are decent. Weston's a big body that scored a touchdown actually against Iowa State in 17. And then Wolf, big kid from Cedar Falls, who's actually, his dad is friends with one of the owners of Cyclone Fanatic, Matt Lazier.
Oh, yeah.
Good college buddies of his. And he had the chance to potentially go to a higher level, decided to stay home in Cedar Falls. And he's a really, really good player as an all-state guy in both football and basketball at Cedar Falls.
Cool. Looking forward to that. Also, for me, this is just really because I'm so into like depth charts and stuff like that. I want to see the second string linebackers a little bit.
Yep.
Because I think that they're pretty damn good. I think most of those, if not all three of the backups, would be starters in most years.
When
it comes to Iowa State football, I had that circled. And I want to see more Deckers. Like, I would like to see him more, not in complete mop-up timeline, right? Like,
he played with one game.
Put him in front of a crowd, you know, that type of stuff. Let's see a little bit more. That, and then a very casual observation here, but let's kick the damn ball out of the end zone a few times.
I like that.
You know, wouldn't that make you feel better?
That would make me feel a lot better. Some nerdy things for me, who is the place kicker? Is it a Sally, or does
I think it'll be Mevis.
Or will Mevis be the guy? I mean, I will find out. It could be an under 40 and over 40 thing.
I think I told you this. I heard Mevis could even punt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, who knows? But everything I heard was prior to fall camp.
Sure.
So we'll see what happens. But I know he had a really good spring, and they really liked it. Was he in the spring or whatever? He had a good summer or whatever it was. But the early returns on Mevis were high. Now, that was with, but we have a whole fall camp to go. So take it. And Matt Campbell trusts Connor Sally in pressure moments because he's made them before.
He has.
And we know him with Matt and trust. That goes a long way. So stay tuned.
And then who's the kick returner? You know, Breece Hall has supposedly has volunteered to do that.
Walters was telling us that on the radio.
He stuck his hand out to say, I will be your kick returner.
Can't do that.
I don't know. Can you?
I mean, if this Noel kid's so good, let him do it.
Well, so, I don't know who else is your candidates back there. The Silas kid, the Sanders kid, both the younger running backs, both really talented.
I heard Silas is a freak.
And I think Jirell could be a kick returner as well.
I heard Silas is like eerily similar to like Jarvis West, where you just see him early and you're like, you're like, he has to play in some capacity.
Yep. So I don't know. I mean, Porter's got.
What about punt return then?
Who was the punt returner last year?
Well, they don't ever return.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter.
Did they even return a punt last year?
I don't even
know. Was it Heisworth for a while? Anyway.
That's just like, who do you know is not going to screw it up and do what Nebraska did yesterday?
They didn't. Remind us, everybody. I'm drawing a blank as to even if they. I could look it up real quick. But
I'll
they just.
It. Keep talking. I'll
they haven't out. Ever really returned many punts. So I think it was Iceworth, though. So that's one thing to keep an eye on, special teams. Who's back there for kicks? Kane was so good. Like, there's a couple of things you have to replace. It's Nwangu's role, and then also Jaquan Bailey. And that's my other thing, C-Dub, is I'm looking forward to 45-plus snaps of Will McDonald.
Iceworth had 5. Milton had 3. DJ Miller had 2, and Landon Akers had 1.
Okay, and so Tariq could be a kick return guy, too.
Did Landon Akers come back?
Landon Akers did not.
Yeah,
He's in camp. He actually caught a couple passes the other day.
I'm sorry.
That might have been the block punt that we had against Baylor. Was that in stat? So Eisworth.
Maybe it's Eisworth just back there fielding
punts. Which would make me feel fine.
I don't want to put Eisworth back there, though. He's injury prone. Like, I don't want
the punt. The punt return guy doesn't matter. It's the kick return guy that's an interesting.
Because you're replacing the Wonga, who is
great. And best Iowa State's ever had.
He's going to make the Vikings despite injuries, but they couldn't keep him off the field, so that's good.
So I think that's interesting. I want to see Will McDonald a little bit more. And then who's that opposite receiver that maybe steps up early? And who starts, I guess? So number one is the question, who starts in that X position? You know, with Hutchinson, you know, is going to be there. I think Milton probably starts. Who's that next one in there? And then who makes plays? How much will we see Jalen Noel out there? Or is it going to be Daniel Jackson, who we haven't talked about a lot, but has had a great fall camp as well? Joe Skates has been right there. So that competition of who's that next great receiver to be the guy to make an impact.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Shout out to our friends at the Iowa Clinic and the Iowa Clinic Men's Center. We told you about how they helped both of our families out with COVID. We weren't no emergencies or anything, but we were like, probably got to get tested.
Get checked out, yep.
Last week, iowaclinic.com. In fact, I'm on there right now. It's a Sunday afternoon, and I can see exactly how many spots are available at urgent care. It's so cool. Get those COVID vaccines, everybody. Get those flu shots coming up. We've got the physicals. It's physical season. Have you booked your physical yet? I'm going to do mine here in a couple of weeks. I was doing it in September.
Do you do it before Vegas or after Vegas, though?
Man, so I've told the story about your wedding and how it effed up my triglyceride count because I drank all that beer. Don't get a physical the day after Bloom's wedding.
So
2 days after. That's a bad situation.
I'd love some feedback from the people. I have not spent a lot of time in Vegas. My wife's really concerned about the cost of alcoholic beverages out there.
No, don't. We go to Fremont Street. Don't worry about it.
During the day on Saturday before the game, like,
we'll go to Fremont Street.
Well, I've got to be I'm working. She's on her own. So I just don't want her to
quit. Just hang with me.
Okay.
I'm a pro.
Okay. Williams knows UNLV.
I hate the strip. Sorry if I'm offending you guys. I hate the strip. Why would you hang out at the strip and pay $12 for a Bud Light?
That's what she was concerned about.
When you can get in a quick Uber, go to Fremont Street and pay Southwest Iowa prices.
If you're in charge, just make sure she doesn't spend all the money at slot machines.
I mean, I'm tapping out. Okay. I have no. I can't wait. I'm not working that game. I'm with the people. I got to manage the charter.
That's right. That's right.
I'm tapping out. Stansberry and Jacqueline have to do all the work.
That game day.
I'm out. It's going to be great.
Nice of them to open up more seats for Iowa State fans.
Yeah, what about that? Hey, do what you got to do. They've got to cash in.
Yep, as long as it works for the people.
Hey, we're going to be in the Mountain West soon. We got to figure this stuff out, too. I'm kidding.
Don't tease that.
Calm down, everybody. It was a joke. If you can't make fun of yourself, then... okay.
So who's the guest picker when game day is here?
Eric Church.
Bring him back? Run him back? He was so fired up to be here the first time.
I mean... You can't do anything politics.
Nope. I think there's a natural choice. Tyrese Halliburton.
Oh.
Is he a big enough name, though? He finished second for the NBA Rookie of the Year. He'd be good TV.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Like, will ESPN, come up with that, or...
I don't know.
That'd be my suggestion. What about him and Niang?
Doing both?
Okay. I mean, Niang's, going to be a 10-year vet.
Yeah, and he makes good TV.
Yeah, both of those guys would be total clowns up there. THT, man.
You get Horton Tucker.
Mini
get
LeBron. Out.
Yeah.
Get Monty. Little LeBron. I haven't thought about it.
Bring LeBron with.
Honestly, I don't care.
I know.
I understand the fans, and I'm kind of with you, and it's like, oh, God.
Not again.
The circus is coming to town. But I told you I'm putting my RV up on Friday, and you and me can just stay there. Like, I'm not screwing with the traffic. We can take dumps in my RV. We don't have to worry about that.
That's encouraging.
I don't care. I've drained it out. I don't understand the people who don't poop in their RV. Why do you spend all the money on this big RV if you're not going to be able to poop in it? Anyways, we've got Big 12 football. So the FCS lines are not out when we're doing this.
So we don't know. We do not know Iowa State's.
I'm going to double check right now to make sure that it is not.
We were estimating somewhere in the 20 point region?
I'd say 21 to 24.
Okay.
That would be my.
We'll see how dumb we sound when that comes out.
Yeah, that would be my guess. But yeah, as of when we were recording this, there's no lines, but we'll have the information out there for you guys, obviously. I don't think that this audience necessarily is into the gambling stuff, but. I guess everybody is these days. Big 12, decent schedule for opening week. Stanford, Kansas State. Kansas State's a 2.5-point favorite. I like Kansas State in this one. I don't think Stanford's that good. I think Kansas State could be the Big 12 team or how did they get 8-4?
Yeah, I think that's a good and Stanford's super down. I think their over-under win total was 4, which is crazy for that program. But their schedule's tough. And K-State... is one of those teams that just got wrecked at the end of the year by COVID when they were in first place in the Big 12 in mid-October. I agree with you. I like K-State there.
Oklahoma, Tulane. I think that's it at New Orleans.
Yes, it is.
Oklahoma's a 26.5-point favorite. Yeah. Tulane, listen, they're not going to win, but I bet on them a lot.
They were feisty last year.
And they keep the ball on the ground. They're kind of a throwback. I like to.
Oklahoma's got major running back issues. They've been following that. They're two scholarship guys.
They don't have Breece Hall.
They do not.
West Virginia at Maryland. This to me, West Virginia has kind of been my sleeper team in the Big 12, potentially. I think we'll learn a lot about them off the bat.
Totally.
If they lose this game, then okay, you're thinking 6-6.
Yep, you got a little bit ways to go. What's that one?
3.5 West Virginia favored.
Okay.
In Maryland.
Okay.
Big Ten people, if you talk to them, they think Maryland is the classic, like, we've got pretty good skill guys, but we're not great in the trenches.
Yeah, I mean, and West Virginia is pretty good in the trenches. So that's one of those where you would think early on the trenches win over skill until the skill comes around. Tua's brother is still the quarterback at Maryland. That's a good Big 10, Big 12 strength of conference test, though. That'll be interesting.
Louisiana at Texas.
That's going to be fun. What time is that game?
This is the most interesting game.
I'd love to watch that one.
This is by far the most interesting game.
Is that a night game?
In the Big 12. Give me a second here. You expect me to just have...
you know everything.
All this stuff right at the tip of my tongue. I've got the actual schedule pulled up. I just had the betting lines there. That is at 3:30.
Same time.
We'll DVR it and we'll watch it that night at my house.
This will be interesting. Was Texas like 10? 12?
Nine. So Texas named a quarterback. They're going with the kid.
Hudson Card?
Yep. They did that over the weekend.
The comparisons are to Aaron Rodgers.
I saw that. I'm like, geez, no pressure. God.
Let's just throw it out there.
Man. Yeah, Hunter Decker's Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, a lot like Ben.
Come on. I hope this... I'm not wishing ill intent on this. Yeah, it's
like, you know, Tyrese Hunter, you know, I'm not going to make any comparisons, but he really looks like Chris Paul out there.
Jazz Kunch? Oh, yeah. Dirk.
That's Nowitzki. Not to make comparisons, though.
Yeah, but Texas... So part of me, like, I'm just skeptical of Louisiana, only in the sense that I know how bad of a spot Iowa State was in COVID-wise last year.
Yeah.
At that game, and I think that if it's like a normal situation, listen, they're good.
They have guys. They're physical.
Part of me thinks they may be a little overvalued because of what they did in Ames.
I think that's fair.
But Texas is not like they don't have questions.
But where Louisiana's good and still is on the D-line. And that's usually where those games are won or lost against, you know, big programs like Texas.
I would take the points.
I think so. I think it's going to be right at it. Now, where Louisiana struggled even against Iowa State was they didn't run the ball at all that game either.
Yeah.
You know, and that's supposedly that was their strength coming in. Iowa State held them to like 3 yards a carry. But they had, a couple garbage touchdowns, one on special teams. And so that game looked more out of hand than it really was. But, yeah, and if Texas gets to 30... Texas wins that game.
Yeah. I'm Texas, to me, is still the most interesting team going into the season.
That's a good way to start for them.
Yeah. They'll learn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then they've got to go to Arkansas next week. I mean, in theory, they really could be 0-2.
I saw you mixing up with the Arkansas fans last
what
night.
What the hell is... I was going to tweet this, and I stopped. Because I was getting drunk. I was drinking Cody Road. The Arkansas fan that was yakking at me, there were multiple ones. Yep. They're everything that's wrong with college football. They're the guy who they don't care how much they win, and they're like, yeah, well, we make more TV revenue than you do. Right. Who cares?
Like, it's zero impact on you.
If you're a fan, like, why don't I don't care? Like, sure, I want Iowa State to be profitable because then it should result in more wins, but clearly it's not. You've won seven games in the last 3 years.
Yes.
Like, they're everything that's wrong with college football. That guy who was tweeting at me last night.
So our conference is the best. Well, why is your conference the best? Because they've been beating up on you. Yeah,
because you're so shitty.
They get to play you every week.
You're bumping up their analytics for all the good teams. That's why they're good. It's unbelievable.
I'm already tired of the SEC.
Good one here. Texas Tech at Houston.
Oh, could be a future Big 12 game.
This is a 6 p.m. kick on ESPN. I'll go on the record without knowing too much about Houston yet. Texas Tech is a 1.5 favorite. Seems really skeptical to me.
Is that in Houston?
It's in Houston. I don't know enough about Houston.
Is that at their stadium or is it at Texans? I'm asking a lot of questions that I don't.
Oh, it's versus. Yeah, that's at NRG.
Yeah, so that's the Texans. But still, Dana's still there. Holgy.
My gut tells me that Houston's a play there, but I need to, before I go all in, I need to, I don't know what.
I would agree.
And then we have Baylor at Texas State. Baylor's favored by 13.5. The other games, Duquesne at TCU. Ugh. That'll be a doozy. You can get tickets for $4 to that game.
Game on.
Hey, you can get tickets for $4 to Stanford, Kansas State at Jerry World. That's a weird game to be at AT&T Stadium.
That game probably looked a lot better 6 years ago when it was scheduled.
Jeez. Missouri State is at Oklahoma State. And that's it. Iowa State and Northern Iowa. Actually, and then Friday night. I'm fired up for this.
We got
Friday night, South Dakota at my Kansas Jayhawks. 7 p.m. kick. Lance Leipold.
Lance, the debut.
The next head coach at Iowa State.
Herb Street, his big take on the Big 12 was Kansas is going to win more than one Big 12 game.
Wow. Just because of Lance.
I don't know what his reason
is. Lance is really, like, people really think he's good. Like, he has as good of a reputation. I still can't believe he went there. I mean, had he known this Big 12 thing, he probably
wouldn't have.
But I still can't believe he went there.
Speaking of Kansas, Northern Iowa has a couple Kansas transfers.
Really?
Including one in the offensive line.
Well, speaking of Lance Leipold, Buffalo plays at Nebraska in a couple weeks.
Oh, it's our old buddy
Maurice Lindquist, who's a secondary coach under Paul Rhodes.
Yep.
Like, Buffalo could totally beat Nebraska and Lincoln.
The way they looked the other day. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're here, though, man. We made it.
Indiana, Iowa has significant impact on Iowa State. Iowa's a 3.5-point favorite in that one. Alabama at Miami. Georgia, Clemson, obviously, is the game of the week.
Marquee one.
Clemson's a 3-point favorite in that. I'd play Georgia. I'd play the hell out of Georgia.
I think they're going to be really good.
I do too. LSU at UCLA. UCLA is giving away free tickets to high school students in the area.
There's a lot of high school students in the area.
That's the big brand.
Yeah.
That's one of the Pac-12's two big brands. They're giving away free tickets as the 2019 national championships are coming, national champs are coming to town.
Wild.
They're giving away free tickets to the game. And then 1990 called, and it wants its Notre Dame-Florida State rivalry back. That's on Sunday.
I had never even heard that game is happening. Yeah. That's how so far behind Florida State is.
Notre Dame's a touchdown favorite.
Where's it at?
I want to say that game is in Tallahassee.
It's got to be if it's only 7. Yeah.
I'm almost positive that game is in Tallahassee. Give me a second.
Wow. That would have been a big deal when we were teenagers.
That's at Doak.
Who's the Memphis guy still there?
Norvell? Yeah, it's only his second year.
Yeah, it's only.
He's a good coach. He'll be fine. He'll turn that place around. I mean, I don't know if he can get him back to Jimbo level, but he's a good coach.
That's not a bad opening week.
No, it's not bad.
Not bad.
We've had better. We've had worse. But that's a... We'll take it.
And you know what? At the end of the day, it's going to be great and kind of surreal to see that place sold out on Saturday at Jack Trice.
Yeah.
Last year was so hard. And that's going to be of all the things. Yeah, you want to win and you want to take care of business, but that opening kickoff and that place is jammed. It's going to be a small moment of reflection to think, man, at least we've got this right now. Nothing is perfect in the world, but we've got that.
Nothing is perfect in the world is the understatement of the day. But nonetheless, no, it's good to be back. Thanks for listening. If you guys didn't check out the podcast with Stuart Mandel, you should check it out. I've actually got a podcast that I'm going to put out super early in the week. I interviewed Kyle Green from TJ Altzelberger's staff.
Speaking of Northern Iowa, right?
Really good guy. We talked about that. He's hosting a bunch of his old you and I friends.
Cool.
Yeah. It was fun interview. You guys will get to know Coach Green a little bit more. Look for that on the feed with all the rest of our game week stuff. Meyer to Blythe will be back this week.
Yes.
Fart. All the good stuff.
And the Thursday night show is back.
We'll be doing all the streaming stuff again on game day. It's time. Game on. Thanks, Bloom.
See you, buddy.
Appreciate y'all listening.